Researchers are proposing a system to use artificial intelligence to detect the early warning signs of outbreaks of disease or even economic disasters. The team at Ag Research says AI could be used to trawl through vast amounts of global data to identify unusual patterns in commerce and trading, or actions by governments or large companies that could point to looming risks. That means AI could be used to identify diseases like M. bovis or the kiwi fruit disease PSA in the early stages, or even predict future pandemics. The technology could mean quicker responses and better outcomes, potentially saving the New Zealand economy hundreds of millions of dollars over the next decade. Mark Weaver is a senior scientist at Ag Research. Kia ora, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm very...
Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much. Let's start with a definition. What is a systemic risk? Because that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so basically what we're doing is we're developing a system for detecting threats to the New Zealand agriculture sector. And a systemic risk is basically any type of trigger event that can undermine the viability of the agriculture sector and New Zealand society in general. So it can be things like COVID-19, can be things like M. bovis, but it can also be the horse meat scandal or a financial crisis.
Are these systemic risks becoming harder to predict?
Yes, because our systems becoming more integrated. So New Zealand society becomes more integrated into the global system, and also our social, technical, biophysical systems are becoming more integrated. So there's more interaction in all types of systems, which means that basically the systems are becoming more opaque and complex for regulators to monitor. So it means it's harder to identify warning signals. And they're becoming more complex, harder to detect.
So this is where artificial intelligence would come in. We're talking about so much information that is really the only way to be able to analyze it accurately.
Well, the thing is, so if you took, for example, about the food supply chain, modern-day food supply chains spawn across multiple continents, countries. They can involve tens of actors or even hundreds of actors. It is very hard for any regulator to have a good insight of what's happening across the supply chain, who's trading what, who's doing what. So to be able to have some insight in what is happening across the supply chain, you need to be able to automate the gathering of data across the supply chain. And that is where artificial intelligence comes in, because it can automate things like content analysis, sentiment analysis, and it just can automatically gather information from a wide range of sources.
Well, let's have a look at those sources, because I guess that's crucial here. What is the kind of data that would be available, accurate data, that would be available internationally for AI to assess?
Yeah, so let me explain a little bit more about how our system works, because artificial intelligence is just one component of our system. So basically, there are two main components. First of all, we identify warning signals of threats by shifting through data from a wide variety of sources. And secondly, we also use a wide combination of models to estimate the likely impact of identified threats. And one of our approaches is we don't just look at threats, but we also look at vulnerabilities of the system. So a lack of data, quality data in itself about the supply chain is a warning signal of a threat. Do you understand?
Yeah, so a lack of information is always also a red flag.
Uh-huh. It is a gigantic red flag. So, for example, if you talk about COVID-19, if you have a lack of information about the number of masks you have or the number of breathing apparatuses you have, that is a red flag in itself. So the type of databases we would be looking at would depend on the type of risk we're dealing with. So, for example, with biosecurity incursions, we could look at customs data, animal traceability databases, transcriptions of debates in parliament, transaction databases, overseas news outlets for reports of disease outbreaks. So these are examples of the type of databases we would be looking at. But the main advantage of our approach, in which AI would play then a key role, is that it would link different types of models. So if you, for example, look at COVID-19, It's one thing to have a model of the outbreak of the disease. It's another thing to then link the output from an epidemiological model to a supply chain management model related to health services supply chain. So, for example, if you identify a potential outbreak of a disease and you can immediately automatically model where you would need more medical inputs like masks, like breathing apparatuses, then you could potentially react more quickly than if this type of models are not integrated and work together.
Now, biosecurity is a particularly big issue for us in Aotearoa New Zealand, and I think ag research is looking at this. So analysing or using artificial intelligence engine in this way, could it help us to identify threats to agriculture?
Yeah, definitely. But I think one thing is we need to move towards, because our systems are becoming more integrated, we shouldn't look at the agriculture sector in isolation. It's just embedded in large New Zealand society. So any type of biosecurity risks, it poses a threat to New Zealand society and not just to the agriculture sector, I would say, particularly given the fact that New Zealand's economy is so dependent on the agriculture sector.
I mentioned before that, say, well, let's take PSA, the kiwi fruit disease, for an example. How could this system help us to identify and mitigate the potential disaster that that's been for the industry?
Yeah, so I think it's always easy to look back at past events and say, hey, we could have done this better, we could have done that better. Because that's one of the problems when you develop new systems, is that you look too much at past wars, and then you're not prepared for the future wars. But if we look, for example, at Mbovis as an example, which is a case study we have analyzed more in depth, is you could look at gaps in traceability data. You could look at things like limited enforcement of non-compliance of farmers with NAIDS requirements and things like that. So that is the advantage of our system, is that we don't just look at indicators of the outbreak of a disease, but also we look at the vulnerability, the regulatory vulnerability of lack of the regulatory capacity for dealing with outbreaks.
Still, I'd like to talk about the PSA example, though, because from my reading of this, even things like unusually high levels of pollen and budwood importations could be helpful to ascertain that there'd been an outbreak of the disease here in New Zealand.
Yes. That's correct. But again, as I said before, it is easy to look at past outbreaks and then say we could have done this better or we could have done that better. The key is, what can we do to prevent future outbreaks better? And that is by looking at how can we improve our regulatory capacity, and how can we improve our access to data, and how can we integrate our models better. So that is where our work would come in.
Are you excited by the potential of this?
Yes, I think the key is, as New Zealand as a small country, is that we try to look at where can we do a better job. And what we're proposing in a system is not so much as developing new AI tools, which of course a lot of countries have much more capacity to do so, but of integrating and linking those tools to work together in harmony so they can make a more comprehensive assessment of any type of risk. So yeah, I'm really excited, and I hope we can move forward towards developing this system.
We should say, I guess this is at the concept stage at the moment, so early days, and you're moving into modelling. Is this an international project? Like, are you working with other researchers in other countries?
Yeah. First of all, I myself am not from New Zealand, as I'm sure all the listeners can hear very well. So yeah, we're working together with researchers from Holland, from Brazil, Ireland, amongst others, and Australia.
What about the government's interest in this? Because we mentioned before that if this goes to plan, you know, the diseases we've spoken about, the pandemics, potentially, of course, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars being lost to economies around the world with biosecurity issues and with the pandemic. So, I mean, do we need more investment, or where is the money coming from for ag research for this?
Sorry, could you please repeat that question?
Yeah, just funding. I'm just wondering where the money is coming from. Given say, governments could benefit from this, is there extra money coming in from the government for the modelling stage of this? How is it being financed?
Yeah. So we're ag research is fully owned by the government. So that means that my time, which I spend working on this, is fully owned by the is fully financed by the government.
But is extra money required to take this where you need it to go? I'm just curious to see how much government interest there is in this.
Yeah. So right now we have enough money to move from the conceptual stage towards the computational stage, where we would actually start to model things. And we're working together with government stakeholders to further develop the model.
Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with it too, Mark. Mark Weaver is a senior scientist at Ag Research.